This is Joel Spolsky, the host of the Stack Overflow podcast. Our podcast depends on listeners like you, who aren't you because you're already listening, and we need more listeners like you. We don't have any kind of fancy marketing budget, so please, if you enjoy this podcast, tell your friends to subscribe. Thank you.
When Gotham was created, it was based on signage around the city.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was influenced by that. But it's not based on subway signage. It's
all right, so let's go more into font history.
Yeah.
Vanilla Dash.
It's typeface hour.
We're talking about Gil Sands today.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
Notice the ligatures.
When I see somebody call a typeface a font, I think, well, that person's despicable.
Yeah.
You're listening to Fontology Foursome here on National Public Radio.
We're back on Kearney. This is the Stack Overflow podcast, episode 106, recorded Thursday, April 20th, 2017. Please don't call it 420. At Stack Overflow headquarters in New York, New York, home to the world's largest collection of people that have opinions about bagels, where more than 8 million people live in peace and endure the burdens of democracy. Thank you all for being here. Your usual host, Joel Spolsky, is not here, so your unusual host, Anil Dash, is taking his place. Very glad to be joined by an eclectic cast of people. Your usual co-hosts are here. VP of Engineering, David Fullerton, VP of Stack Overflow, Jay Hanlon, News Editor, Ilana Yitzhakti, and since Joel's out, we've got a lot more people here, including the data team. Assemble, data team.
Yo.
Hello.
Welcome, data team.
Hi.
We have, as Anil points out, the entire data team in one place. It is the strongest gathering of datologists. Anyway, we have this afternoon with us Dr. Julia Silge, noted data scientist and astrophysicist.
Woo. Hello, hello.
Dr. Dave Robinson, data scientist and doctor of quantitative and computational biology, which I believe means he makes cyborgs.
Hello, and that's right.
Mr. Kevin Montrose, data team lead, longtime Stack Overflow developer, best known perhaps as the husband of our very own Cassie Montrose.
Hello.
Hair Jason Punyon, data engineer, and I have to think the most famous person in Buffalo, New York.
That is correct.
And last but not least, Senorita Nick Larson, data engineer and a rocket scientist. By which I mean he makes gigantic toys that are basically firecrackers that aren't pretty but fly into the air and blow up.
No, they're pretty.
Welcome, Nick.
Hello.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Today's podcast is brought to you by giant rockets that do blow up, as well as Glitch, which is made by Fog Creek, where I'm the CEO over there. And the team that makes Glitch has built an amazing, friendly community where you'll make the app of your dreams. You should try it out in your browser. If you're a developer, you'll be able to go in and build an app in a couple of minutes and bring in your friends to collaborate in real time with you. And it's a very cool tool. So I'm very excited to be able to get to tell folks about that too.
Have you built the app of your dreams yet, Anil?
You know, I feel like it's my life's work to build the app of my dreams. It's going to take me the rest of my life to get there. And then when it's complete, I'll know that, you know.
But it's only supposed to take a few minutes.
Well, yeah, but what if the rest of my life is a few? Oh, that's just a depressing question, isn't it? Yeah, you don't want to get there.
Really, you're going with the hard questions on the Glitch tagline, huh?
That's what I do.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, what's a Stack Overflow tagline?
This is why we don't bring the whole data team here very often.
Is it the data team is here or the data team are here?
It's the data's team are here.
The team's data, semicolon.
The data are here with the team who is making me sad about
our
it.
Technical name is the datum team because we only have one datum so far.
But all of our invites are Jason team.
So oh, that's yeah.
That's
well, when you say the data team are here, it's just the letter R. I like to go for sight gags on the podcast. I'm an expert.
As Jay likes it.
As we ramp up the number of dads on the podcast, we also increase the number of dad jokes proportionally. Welcome,
that's the
Anil.
That's the dad team.
Please make yourself at home.
The dada team.
Dada team.
So before we get on to the Dada team, do we have a 1 minute tech review?
Oh, yes. I have a tech review.
Woohoo!
I have two.
This is a big day.
Okay, so first, to follow up from my previous tech review, the Nintendo Switch, I finally got one.
Congratulations.
It's amazing. I take back all the mean things I said about Nintendo. It's the most expensive video game I've ever bought, since there's only one game right now. But I am hopeful.
It's a dedicated console.
That one day there will be more games. And it's a really great device. So, Nintendo Switch. Thumbs up from me. All right. My main tech review is Amazon Fresh, which is Ooh. Amazon's grocery delivery service, which my family just started using a month or two ago. And it's surprisingly excellent.
Which is different than Pantry?
I don't know what Pantry
yes.
is. This
yes.
thing has gone through a few different names.
Yes.
It's grocery delivery. You go on. Okay. It's like a special subsection of Amazon that just has groceries that they will deliver to you. You order mm-hmm. it. You schedule a delivery. It's like Fresh Direct. They bring it to your door. Here are your groceries.
Amazon's like Google now, where they have to have two of everything, right? So like the pantry and the fresh teams have never met. They don't know the other exists.
It's super confusing. A pantry is certain items are pantry items that are on the main Amazon site, and you have to pay extra to have those shipped to you in boxes from their warehouses. Amazon Fresh comes from like a whole different local-ish giant supermarket where they drop it off at like 6 in the morning tomorrow. Like in cooler bags.
Okay. Or same day. You can get same day. It's pretty nice, actually.
And one of them is like Prime affiliated.
You have to have Prime, and you have to pay $15 a month
like
on top of your Prime subscription.
Right.
And then you get groceries that are priced the same or cheaper than what you get at your grocery store. Notably better than another grocery startup we tried, which was Instacart, which was terrible. And Instacart is the one where you pay and you put your wish list together, and then someone is dispatched to go to a grocery store and
that one's horrible. I've done that one. Yeah, that's bad.
Attempts to buy the things that you asked for, which in practice means they've got a website full of things that a grocery store might have in stock.
Yeah.
And the person's just going to show up there and make an on-the-spot executive decision about whether you really wanted the thing you ordered, or you'd be okay with whatever their opinion of an equivalent item is, or you don't want it at all, and so they'll just refund it.
Yeah, or it's promise-based food stuff.
Yeah, they've made my wife sending me to the grocery store with a list as a service.
Right.
Which is, you get something vaguely similar. To,
well, and it's worse because you feel bad.
I was going to compare it to sending my dad to the grocery store with a list, which is like, you know, you asked for Lucky Charms, and what he comes back with is like the store brand, you know, Bran Flakes. And he's like, I got your cereal.
Yeah.
You still call him your dad, though, yeah? Okay.
Unreliable narrator as a service is what I'm hearing. It's sort of like we sent somebody out into the world. They came back with a representation of these ideas as expressed.
Right. So this podcast was not brought to you by Instacart.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
The most egregious one of these, Anil will appreciate, was we ordered a delicious Haitian mango, which was replaced by a boring whatever the red grocery store mango is.
No. Oh, that's that was actually a green grocery store mango. That's wrong. You can't. Mangoes are very, very serious. You can't.
It was not ripe, and it was inedible, and it was terrible.
Yeah, no, you can't substitute mangoes any more than you substitute apples, right? If somebody says, "I want a Golden Delicious," like I want this, or I want a Granny Smith, and you give them like a red,
and then
delicious,
you give them a red delicious
garbage.
Wax
that's
apple.
Garbage in your hand.
I like how, like, as technology progresses, we day-to-day are increasingly essentially the same character as, like, an evil king at Versailles. We're like,
totally.
When the human arrived with my mango, it was not a Haitian mango. It was a simple red mango.
My fruit is bruised.
I have to credit Anil for my appreciation of mangoes because I didn't know. I, like many people, grew up on the weird red grocery store mangoes, which is the worst of all mangoes. Anil tweeted about this, and the next time I was at a grocery store, I saw some delicious Atolfo mangoes and got some of those, and it was a life-changing experience.
I would like to amend our sponsor. Our sponsor is mangoes, the concept of mangoes.
The red mangoes.
But not
You should all love these unicorn frappuccinos because this is mango.
What?
It is mango.
We are blessed with these weird beverages that we all have in front of us right now, which are these, they're a beautiful purple color, rainbow stripes.
The blue is sour mix and the pink is mango.
Okay, they're alleged to be mango. It doesn't resemble any mangoes I've seen in real life.
Starbucks unicorn frappuccinos that we're all drinking right now.
Yeah.
Except me, because I'm at home and not allowed to.
Which he would love, you know, especially if they were the Haitian mango.
It just tastes like sweet.
I eat, enjoy, and would recommend Peeps. Like, I am that kind of person.
Whoa.
These are disgustingly sweet.
Like,
brutally sweet. I do.
Wow. Worse than
Peeps. Sub-Peep quality sweetness.
This is abusive sweetness.
Okay, well, anyway, back to my tech review.
Oh, right. Your tech review was mangoes are good?
Amazon Fresh gets a thumbs up. Instacart, thumbs down. Do not order mangoes from them.
Get good mangoes.
Only get the good mangoes.
Take that, Instacart.
We might as well review mangoes while we're at it. That'll be the third review here. Atolfo mangoes or Haitian mangoes, if you see them in the grocery store, they're yellow, not red-green mangoes. Get those. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Did Amazon Fresh send you the scanner yet?
What?
No.
So
you can get your
ordering,
own scanner?
You'll get a special, like, they don't, like, advertise this, but they'll send you, it's like a wand you put in your kitchen, it's got a little hook on it. And it has two functions. One is it has a barcode scanner.
Just wave it at the thing you want, and it appears.
So, like, when your Lucky Charms run out,
right?
You just scan the Lucky Charms box as you're throwing it away, and it adds Lucky Charms.
Do you have to do it as you're throwing it away?
No,
can
it's
you...
just a system I devised.
Could you do it in an
Lucky
anticipatory
charm
way?
You totally. You
what if you were a grown
system
up who knows about time, and you think ahead of time? I would like to have.
Well, then you
more
have two
of
boxes
product
of Lucky Charms.
You know, I wish I'd had you in addition to my spouse to critique my method when I was slaying.
I'm just saying we have like a plethora of PhDs here.
That's true, but we should be using them.
The data power here to anticipate how much cereal I'm about to eat. could be calculated.
But to be clear, this is a way better solution than subscribe and save, which is basically the way to get way too much of whatever.
Yes. Infinite pile of graham crackers.
We got to the point where our apartment was like overflowing with toilet paper because we set up a subscribe and save.
Whoa. Let's walk this back.
Overflow and toilet paper don't go well together.
Yeah, unsubscribe.
But I feel your pain because I have, I would guess, 600,000 flushable wipes sitting in a pantry.
Wow, yeah, and Neil has left this Slack channel as well.
Please only flush one at a time. Okay, so plus one on the whole Amazon Fresh experience.
I want a barcode reader. I didn't know you could just get it.
So they send you this thing. You just get it with your next order eventually. They'll just give it to you.
Yes.
And the other thing it does is it's like a wannabe Alexa Siri thing where you can also press a button order more mini marshmallows. And it will just translate your...
You talk to your barcode scanner?
You talk to the thing.
Oh, the robot future sounds
and
delightful.
The best is there's no feedback.
Yeah.
So all that happens is like next time you go to your list... It'll say, like, baby opossums or whatever.
Right.
And they'll have bananas to your cart. And if you don't remove them, that's what
you're
like. Do you just, like, sing into it? I'm imagining it's like a Bob Barker microphone.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. A slender wand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
With a little...
It spays and neuters animals.
Thing on the top.
Yep.
And I'm anticipating your follow-up question. Usually call me maybe is the answer to your next question.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
So next up, I think we have a rant from Jay.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Dear.
So I'm not so much of a ranter. I'm a big talker, but the angry rant was a new form. But I wanted to sort of embrace Joel's spirit. And so I thought, what would Joel do? First, he'd be super angry about something ridiculous. But also, he'd probably be talking about airlines. And so I know there's been a lot of talk about the airline experience lately, or as United calls it, actually, there is such a thing as bad publicity. But I wanted to think about airline experience. I don't fly all that much. I don't like to travel. I don't have to a ton for work. But when I do fly, it often happens that there is a baby or there is a toddler on the airplane. And much of the time, they are crying and screaming and generally producing noises that are both louder and more unpleasant than you might guess humans can. At which point, without fail, some meaningful number of adults basically express their shock at this insane situation the same way. There's always someone who's like, unbelievable. Can you believe it? Yes, I can believe it. Now, in fairness, my ability to predict such an event is attributable to the fact that I have ever been on an airplane before. There's always a crying baby on an airplane. There are 225 humans in these planes. 80% of babies and small toddlers have undeveloped eustachian tubes, which means their ears can't pop. And so they cry because they're excruciating pain. And on top of that, roughly 100% of toddlers are total assholes for no reason much of the time. And so you should not be shocked when this happens. You can be sad when this happens. You can be disappointed. But expressing your shock simply makes you seem like someone who does not know how to plan for an airplane. And so my rant is not about the babies. It's about those people. I assume they're also the people on the train, on the 4 train, who are like, a delay? Can you believe that? Someone always says, believe that? It's like, yes, because it happens every third day, and I ride the train to work.
I like where you went with that, Jay. I like where you went with that rant.
Yeah, because it's not the baby. And I'll tell you
this. We were all babies once.
As a new parent,
yeah,
it actually inverts the whole experience, because when you get on the plane and someone else's kid is the one that's being loud, you get this like great sense of relief.
Oh, yeah.
Or at a restaurant.
That's not my kid.
It's not my baby.
It's someone else.
Yeah.
And there's one more layer of this is if you're like, no, I'm a good person. I don't blame the kids. It's the parents. It's the parents I blame. I can promise you the parents are sitting closer to the screaming than you are, and they already have a fractured relationship because that human has probably vomited on them multiple times, possibly today.
Yeah,
not just
and
vomit.
So all you can expect is the parents attempt and seem to be interested in stopping that tantrum, upon which point don't think they should be able to, because they can't. They're trying. So stop being surprised. And that concludes my rant in Joel's spirit.
A bold pro-baby rant.
Correct.
Really, really.
Correct.
Way to go out on a limb. Yeah, that's not, you're like Wu-Tang.
Yeah,
what about
exactly, dogs?
How do we feel about dogs? Because I was on a plane where the loudest thing on it was a dog barking under somebody's seat.
Wow.
Which is unusual.
Are you going to say dogs are bad? Is that the...
No. I mean, I think it's okay, but it was just kind
of
strange.
Yeah. I don't.
Neither of them.
I like that it was airline themed. I think that was a very good way in Joel's absence to feel like he's here.
We're trying to keep his spirit alive.
The other thing I like is that it's complaining about the customers who are frequently the problem.
I just want to be clear. I'm not trying to take United's side in any particular argument.
The customer is always wrong.
Yeah.
That was gold. Radio gold.
That's, I think, how Joel would feel.
It means so much
to Joel.
Yeah.
So much.
Thank you, disembodied voice of Joel.
Okay. What do we have next? Oh, we have our constitutional question of the period when we have podcasts. As you know, we are preparing Constitution for Stack Overflow, and each week we bring you, our listeners, a proposal. And you, our listeners, and the voice of democracy will decide on whether that proposal ultimately becomes part of our new Constitution. Before we engage with our new question, we need to talk about the results from last time. Last week's topic is when you say you're going to, quote, table a topic. Pro meant you think you are deciding to discuss the issue right now, and probably also that you herd adorable puppies for fun. And con meant that you were deciding not to discuss the issue at this time, to instead set it aside. And with the result of last week's survey question and the information that will actually go into our Constitution, here is our news editor, Ilana Itzaki.
Yes, so we have 82% con.
Yes!
Con, yes.
Wow.
But wait, which one was con? Tom Eldridge, who voted pro, said, thanks for chairing this poll about tabling. I'm sure I will be floored by the results.
Wow. Nice.
I thought that one was pretty good.
Excellent.
The pro pun game right there.
Yeah.
So you're happy with this, con?
Con. Wait, yeah. Which one was con? Con is
tabling. Con means when we table the issue, we're putting it over on the side table, far away from the main area of discussion.
It's fully ambiguous, actually. I think con is whatever you prefer.
A fire pit.
It's the pro wrestling version. Like, you're into the table, not onto the table.
Right.
This is like that on the wagon, off the wagon. Like, on the wagon sounds like you'd be bouncing around, having fun, probably drunk. It's all very confusing.
I'm similarly confused by boards of directors. Boards have chairs, but then the chair sits on the board. And I don't.
That sounds precarious and unsafe.
Right. It doesn't. And is that related to, like, and if the chair who sits on the board decides to put something on the table?
And Neil, I feel like I now know what you're thinking about so intently during all of our board meetings.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like it's all becoming clear to me.
People are like, wow, why is the smoke coming out of his ears? It's like he's worried about the physics of the whole thing.
He's kind of squinting and nodding, and I'm like, wow, I'm really connecting with this guy. In the meantime, he's stacked, trying to think of how many chairs would fit on a board before they all collapse.
Exactly, that's right. And we'd have to table that motion.
Okay.
Depends on the kind of the board.
All right, do you have a new Constitution question?
Yeah, this does bring us to today's Constitution question. And this, dear listeners, is an exciting day because we have our first listener-proposed constitutional amendment, specifically proposed by Asger, also known as At Odds With Reality on Twitter. And his proposal is, when replying to email, you shall, we'll say thou shall to make it sound more old-timey constitutional, thou shall not reply in line. You must add your reply above the quoted text.
Top quoting.
And so we're going to say pro means it is unforgivable and unacceptable to insert replies into the body of the original email in various places. You must instead put your reply up top.
One time we got an email back from a lawyer about a very serious question that started with a line, replies below in all caps, which I guess is a lawyer thing. You know, if something's important, it's in all caps. But all I could imagine was this lawyer yelling at us about every single one of our questions.
But top posting, didn't that used to be like a great affront? Am I wrong in thinking that was the convention? Maybe it's more of a Usenet thing, but there was like you weren't supposed to put the text at the top.
It's not a thing I've heard.
I don't know
of.
Yeah, that thing.
I don't know. Usenet is old.
Yeah, sorry.
I feel like con, when you're putting text in line in, mm-hmm. in that is for when you are being like technically correct, and that
yes.
must be possible.
Yeah.
Like, I must be able to nitpick the whole way. It's certainly not polite, but I don't
well,
care.
Well, the aggression of it is part of the joy.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that you're tearing apart somebody's email.
That method, to your point, Kevin, is almost always where like the first line of what you are putting in line could almost always be nonsense in response to each sentence, and then you explain why it is nonsense.
Right.
That's right.
Fool!
It's like
right. You need to itemize your idiocy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for nitpicking.
Yeah, it really is like an itemized reply. It's like I could just say, like, you're wrong, or...
All right, well, this one goes to the listeners, and they're going to decide.
Right. I'm just saying sometimes nitpicking.
Just to recap, pro means it would be heretofore prohibited to reply in line, while con means you may continue to pick apart the argument as condescendingly or technically correctly as you wish. Please post your answer to Twitter using the hashtag StackOverflowPodcast with either pro or con and your explanation, which should be short but life-changing, like the periods when a full-service McDonald's franchises offer the elusive McRib sandwich. The best explanation, whether on the winning side or the losing side, will be read on next week's podcast, and its author will win 42 BR30-style incandescent light bulbs, because I have replaced all my light bulbs with LEDs, but it feels even more wasteful than using incandescent bulbs to throw out 42 light bulbs that all work. So you, dear listener, will win them, or you may choose a Stack Overflow sticker. It is your preference, courtesy of the Stack Overflow podcast.
Hashtag sticker.
Also, submit your ideas for future constitutional amendments and see we are not kidding. They might actually become part of the official Stack Overflow Constitution, and one of them might even be named after you, which raises the question of whether this will become the Odds with Reality Amendment. We will bring it to the full Committee on Constitutional Amendment Fakery next week to decide. Post your proposed amendment to Twitter using the same hashtag, and if it is not terrible, we may feature it in a future poll.
Vote con. Can I just do that? Can I just...
No electioneering within 200 yards of the announcement.
Ah, well. This is the 10-foot pole with which I am not touching you.
And so this brings us to the exciting and terrifying part of our podcast, in which we talk to our very own entire data team. Welcome, you guys and gals.
The data team is here.
Hello.
Yeah. Thank you.
The data team are here.
The data's team, the datum team. Is here.
The team's here.
Teams will have been here.
Plurals are stupid. Mm. Let's start with a little background. So we know who the data team is. Is
whom
God.
It?
Whom the data team?
Sorry,
yeah. We've already welcomed you by name, but big picture, share with our listeners, what do you do? What is the data team's mission? What do you hope to achieve?
We dig into our data and see what we can find. So a lot of this is how our users are behaving. It's also like we run various experiments. We help set those up, help analyze.
You don't experiment on the users, do you?
We don't experiment on the users. Right. We experiment on the code the users are using. So
whoa.
Fine semantic distinction.
Yeah, sure.
Users don't kill people.
Whoa.
The data team does.
Wow,
there's a white spritzing of human experimentation. And then like, if you've used, the homepage of Stack Overflow or the jobs platform on Stack Overflow or Talent, if you happen to be hiring, we've also built a lot of the matching infrastructure. And we own infrastructure internally to make that data available. And if you're curious what we know about you actually on Stack Overflow, you can go into your preferences and see all of that data.
When you say matching infrastructure...
That is like matching jobs to candidates, like recommendations and talent, also questions to people on the homepage. So that's more of a sorting than an explicit matching.
Because the homepage is highly randomized, right, from a subset. What questions we're showing to a given person in the hopes of showing them something that would be useful, of interest, they might want to read, might want to answer.
Yes. Oh, and for, I guess, matching, the big thing for matching for Stack Overflow users is the jobs you'll see in the sidebar, the job ads. Those are selected. Like, we own that infrastructure, though the ad server team, who are not here, actually do all the hard parts in getting the pixels in front of you.
And that's all based on all the things that you can figure out, deduce, yeah. Infer about me.
Yes. Yeah. From your activity on Stack Overflow.
But not directly experimenting on me.
No. We just watch you.
Yeah, all right.
We watch
fine.
You intently.
But just to be clear, so they're not experimenting on you at all, but just a totally unrelated question. Have you been feeling sadder lately, Anil?
Hey, that's... You've seen my JavaScripting.
And what are the things in either the jobs matching, what are the primary variables that currently inform the most about what we're showing people?
It's almost entirely the tags on questions you have been viewing. So like how you're actually using Stack Overflow, like what you're reading. We do care a little bit about jobs you've interacted with,
sure.
Or jobs you've seen, but mostly it's just what
Thank
you've been
you.
Reading.
Where you are.
Yeah. We have this fun debate where what is AI? And you know, AI is... a series of if statements, machine learning series of if statements. We do have a geography if statement, very sophisticated.
And
I think there's even an else clause.
Oh, there might be an else clause.
Big data is when you have more rows than fit in Excel.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yes.
We have the most giant of data, whole gigabytes.
Good.
Gigabytes
it's good to establish definitions.
Big data and Microsoft Access are synonyms.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Dave has a good spiel on, like, you know what? Could do a giant Hadoop cluster MapReduce or... We could spend like $300 on RAM and use a for loop. We like the for loop.
Dr. Dave.
Dr.
Dave. That's hence the doctor.
The respectable Dave.
Right. Whoa.
That's right.
It was a little pointed. It was a little
harsh.
Yeah, there's a little management infighting going on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I like that. I like to see that. That's good.
Well, it's a matter of if you clean your data properly and you understand what you're working with and you start to interpret your features, often problems can be solved with much simpler algorithms than people realize. Some things like image recognition do require deep learning and these new cutting edge algorithms, but other problems can be approached with, say, linear modeling. And we find you can get really good results from fairly simple and interpretable things. And I think that does inform a lot of what we do in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I like Stack Overflow. Everything else, we have our own data center. We prefer to run pretty fast, do a lot with a little. We do, I'd say, spend most of our time just cleaning data to figure things out. And once you have a nice clean data set, you don't need a ton of sophistication.
Data hygiene, kids. You heard it here first.
I'm just checking my preferences. You can download what you've deduced
yes.
about me from,
you
your, from your profile.
Yeah.
Of
all Should we look it? At what we think about
it? I'm just looking at it right now. It says that I like OS 10. Sure. It says I like jQuery. That's insulting but accurate.
Probably collects Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a little specific. Fine. That's fine. Hurtful, but I don't mind. Windows?
The shoe size Windows. Is still in beta, so if we got that wrong.
Right, right. Okay, that's fair. Wrong, but it says Windows, and it's like, you know, I was young. It was an experimental time. A lot of, in the 90s, that was a common thing. I feel like these are really, yeah, this is all very correct, and I resent it.
All right, that's, so you heard it here first.
That's how data science works.
Figured out Anil Dash.
I know I mentioned you can go and you can download all of the sort of raw observations we have about you. You can also turn it off. That has been there since day one, essentially. You can just be like, yeah, you know what? I would prefer to get random jobs, essentially, on Stack Overflow suggested and none of this other stuff.
Stop watching me, please.
Yeah. And so there's a button. We don't pull anything from like third-party sources. Like we aren't doing weird Facebook ads to get our tracking pixels on you.
Yeah. The thing I like about that is you did it before there was some thing where somebody felt creeped out or horrible about it. Like you didn't like wait until somebody got mad and then we put a button to say you can opt out. It's sort of there from the beginning, which is as a user, I'm like, that makes me happy.
Yep. The actual implementation of that is a sort of straight pass through to our own APIs. Obviously, it only works for you, your data. But if someone were, say, on the talent team looking to consume some of this data, you're getting exactly what they would get if they asked for it, like exactly the same format. Even.
And you're not mashing it up with like seeing what I was buying on Amazon.
No,
and
all
no. We do not care about your scads of toilet paper. Or,
well, we care. Let's not be, you know.
No, David's house is overflowing with toilet paper. I don't know if you heard that earlier.
Oh, man.
But it's really, it's
and
a big.
Toilet ones.
Yeah.
Anyone needs toilet paper.
Yeah. So it's a pretty big issue. It's a big data issue, actually.
We had to cancel our subscription.
Yeah. The amount of toilet paper is
more than
we Excel.
Fit in Excel.
Exactly.
An Excel sheet.
Yeah.
So what problems are you guys working on now? What are the things you're trying to figure out or what are you trying to improve these days?
So we have a lot of measurement, I guess, problems we've been working on. So this is like trying to figure out who has even seen like our various job listings, for example, is like customer facing bits and like sales attribution and figuring out sort of the value of various ads that we might show you. So we have a display ads business, we have our internal ads business, things of that nature, a lot of just sort of reporting. We also do internally, like I said, experiment consultation stuff and some sort of one-off requests from community purposes. But
yeah, I think that's actually one of my favorite parts. The different parts of the company, they have questions and they say, I have a question about blah. And we're able to inform them by looking at everything that we have. There's a lot of silos in places in the company, and so information gets locked down, but we look at all of the databases. So if it's in careers, or if it's in Stack Overflow, or if it's anywhere, we have a comprehensive view of everything and are able to get the information from one side of the company to the other, basically just for the asking. That seems like it's very useful internally.
Yeah, I think one of the things that gets exciting for us sort of looking at the other product areas we're working on is expanding this into, obviously, like we've got some place and there's a billboard and there's things in it, right? And showing the right things in that is one of the most obvious, I think, applications. And the better we get at that, the more effectively we're kind of targeting people and showing them things relevant to them. Where it gets kind of interesting to me is there's all these other applications where increasingly Stack Overflow, we're trying to serve developers in different ways, right? So everyone's consuming Q&A, but we want even more people. Tons of people are contributing to the Q&A engine. People are now contributing to documentation. People are looking for jobs. And part of what we want to get better at is recognizing when someone comes here based on their past behavior, based on what we do know from seeing what, you know, what tags are looking at, what technologies, where we can serve them best and guiding them those ways. And actually, some of the work you guys are doing that I think is super interesting is trying to better understand, like, how do we know what this user needs better? Like, ultimately, I want to take a person who comes and be like, oh, like we totally want to show you all these questions in this topic because we know your tags, but also be like, you seem like someone we could help find a job. Like we need this info from you, or you seem like someone who could teach other people this language. And Julie, actually, you did some cool work recently. You mentioned a little bit about the stuff you found when looking at sort of the people using jobs, like some of the observations you guys landed on.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to work on some of these questions surrounding either how we're selling jobs or how developers are coming to Stack Overflow and searching for jobs, and how we can see differences in patterns of job searches or visits to jobs that we have. And we can see just some minor changes in behavior on the site and how that propagates to some pretty big differences in, for example, applications that go further down the line. So those are interesting projects to work on. That type of projects are working on, for example, hiring trends projects, things like that. I also think that working on these requests that we get from different parts of the company are very interesting because you can see a lot of impact for taking different kinds of data and synthesizing them together, applying analysis and statistical techniques and being able to see like how can this impact decision making moving forward.
Do you find like people who are like aren't on the data team or maybe not even in a technical role at all are surprised by what you can find out where they sort of ask a question and you're like, yeah, I can do that?
My experience is that people get surprised by both ends when we say, oh, yes, I did this. And then I went above and beyond and was able to tell you these other things.
Right.
And people are surprised and happy. And then sometimes we're like, sorry.
Right, right. That's impossible.
I cannot do that. That's impossible.
That is not knowable. Computers can't measure that. Right.
Yeah. Given the data that we have, the things that we measure about our users, there's just no way that I can tell you that. And people also are surprised by that. And those are more sad days.
I don't want to rehash this, but if I gave you more resources, could you figure out what my wife wants for anniversary? I want to get this right.
That's not an Excel problem.
It's not even the people in the other parts of the company. We frequently disagree about what we think we can do with the certain data that we have.
Within the team.
Within the team.
That's
I
great.
Am more the pessimist side.
What? What? Really?
Yeah, the data do show that. That's
yeah.
true.
The data shows or do show.
The data are show. Nine.
So yeah, somebody will ask a question and I'll go, nah, I don't think we can do that. And then like 4 hours later, Dave or Julia will show up with, well, I did this and
you
Jason was wrong.
Dr. Dave or Dr. Julia.
Dr. Dave right, or Dr. Yeah. Julia.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Respectable Dave.
My understanding as it was presented to me was when there's a question of whether something is good or bad or possible, it's Julia's sort of glasses half full. Kevin tends to be glasses half empty, and you're the one screaming, I think this is pee. Is that correct?
I tend to just throw the glass on the ground no matter what.
Wow.
We'll put a hat tip to that gross idea to the cartoon that I stole that from. So sort of along these lines of like, are people surprised? They're not surprised anymore what they find, but that report Julia talked about, she found these really interesting insights around the jobs team, right, had asked to understand these users better. And she hit on this thing where there's a certain group of users whose behavior you can observe. They come to the jobs board twice in a week. And that group is only 10% of the jobs visitors, but they generate 50% of all applications.
Is it right after their one-on-one meetings? Is that when they come?
Yes, yes. It's after a one-on-one performance review.
Well, people generally get fired on Friday, so there isn't an issue.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I was thinking more elective. It was more optimistic. They're like, I can do better than this.
That reminds me, Jason, Kevin needs to talk to you on Friday.
No.
Wait, we did do some analysis. Didn't it show spikes at certain times, days of the year, or like there were
seasonal
cycles?
Seasonal fluctuations. Just talked about this at the sales dinner.
I think at least recently there hasn't been a huge one except for a drop in December that happens with the general site.
Oh, I was thinking it was like GitHub changed the color of the nav bar and everybody's like, I gotta.
Yeah, no, I think my favorite spike that I've seen is Nick Larson, after an event we don't have to talk about, found a giant spike in the number of people viewing from the United States but searching for jobs in Canada.
Wow.
It was either January or November.
Those are the two options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nick, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Can you talk to us about these rockets you built? Because I've seen pictures and they look super cool.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
How cool are they?
Yeah. Like, perfect. Perfect.
Like,
on a scale of one to cool, where would you rate them?
Right. Like, would the coolness fit in an Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, probably. I think the most Rocketeers actually use Excel over anything else.
I'm sorry, nice. just so I can be clear, do you refer to yourselves as Rocketeers?
Why
so
wouldn't you?
No, not really.
Let's be clear. Also, the rockets we're talking about are like as tall as a human.
Yes.
Like,
nice.
These are not like
sure
the little,
you can kill
the little 1 foot ones that you made as a, you know, a Boy Scout. These
right,
are like,
no. If you only have like the 1 foot one, then you're like a Rocketeer. But the, no, the no, one that's... No.
Spoiler,
when the rocket is your peer, you're a Rocketeer. That's, you can remember through the rhyme. It's a mnemonic.
So do you like rockets that go high? Do you like rockets that are loud? Or do you like rockets that have a lot of power?
Whoa.
Like a Dr.
Wow.
Seuss book I would totally read to my kids.
Yeah, that was like a personality test is what I just heard. That was...
Have you ever landed one on a barge?
No, but that would be awesome. Yeah. I have so much respect for that.
I really want to see a picture.
Describe your typical rocket is what? It's how big and then it does what?
So it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, right? I really like to go high. And so my rockets are generally very skinny. Like,
today is 420. Nailed it.
So most Estes rockets, right? The little ones that you would build when you were a kid, they're like, say, 12 or maybe, you know, 24 inches high. And the little bitty motor that they have in them is about 2.5 inches tall and maybe a half an inch around or so.
I just want to pause for a second. You called our little, well, you know, like we think of the engine, a motor. And that's what really separates the Rocketeers from the Rocketeers. Sorry, continue.
There is a definition. The difference between a motor and an engine is the source of oxygen, right?
Right.
Wikipedia it.
I think if it has its own source of oxygen, then it's an engine.
Huh. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
As a rocketeer.
Okay, so you're trying to express how big your rockets are compared to the little crappy ones we made as kids.
Right. He's insulting my childhood. That's what I heard.
So the size of those rockets is about half the size of the motor that I put into my rockets.
Motor.
Wow.
How high do they go?
My highest so far is 12,264
feet.
What?
That's
space. Wait. That's
more. You can hit a planet that way. A different planet.
How are you not in prison? Do you need a license for that?
I would never do that in a million years. The TSA would come get me.
Wait, so how does that work? Like, do you launch them in, like, your backyard?
No, I drive up to, like, the Finger Lakes, and then we would launch them in the Finger Lakes.
Wow. Not into the lake, but near adjacent to the lake.
There's a picture that I'm looking at right now. It's pretty incredible.
In my mind, I can imagine it.
So this rocket's got to be what? I'm looking at one. It's got to be 15 feet high.
No, it's not 15 feet. It's about 9 feet tall. Or you look at the red
one.
You're a lot shorter than I would have guessed.
A 10-foot, a 9-foot rocket?
Yeah, it's off the ground. It's about 5 feet off the ground on the launch pad because you don't want to burn this, you know,
scorch the earth. You don't want to scorch the earth.
Obviously.
Do you have to have like a permit?
It's not a permit. It is actually self-regulated in the government about every 3 years.
That seems like a good idea.
Tries to come in and regulate it in some way, shape, or form, especially after 9/11.
Nothing could go wrong with rockets.
Is what you just described that like the consortium of amateurs who fire rockets have devised a set of regulations that you all agree to adhere to in how you fire your rockets at, toward, or near the people that don't have rockets?
Yeah, that's... It's a
generally,
handshake thing.
Don't aim them at people. That's terrible.
Hold on. Generally or universally?
Yeah. Also, you said 12,000 feet. It doesn't have some kind of steering system coming
down. It has a motor, Jay. A motor.
Right, because of the source of oxygen.
Yeah.
No, it comes down quite slowly.
Wait, what about airspace?
Oh, yeah. You have to get an FAA waiver.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that.
Yeah. At least in the U.S. and other countries, it's a little bit different.
12,000 feet.
Yeah, I was very proud of that. Like, I launched one that was supposed to have gone at least that high, but the parachute didn't come out, and it's buried somewhere out in the red clay in Alabama.
Do you get telemetry from it while it's in flight? Do you know you hit 12,000 right when you hit it, or you retrieve it?
Yeah, no, I want to so bad, but right now all it does is record a bunch on an Arduino, and when it comes back to the ground, you plug it into the computer, and you can download all of it.
No, real time or bust. I'm not settling for that. Money is no object.
Live tweets.
I do have a ham license, so I can do that, but I... just haven't gotten to that point.
Could you hook it up to Glitch and make some sort of app that way?
Glitch.com.
I'll have to check it out.
Check out Glitch.com where you can get live telemetry.
On your rockets.
I really don't want to write it in JavaScript, though.
That was a fascinating diversion into rockets.
Sorry. But wait, I just want to dwell on this 9-foot rocket again for just like 10, 20 minutes. Not long. How much does it cost to get real-time telemetry? Just roughly, ballpark.
Probably about $600 or $800.
Let's Indiegogo this thing. Let's get to it.
I'll put a big Stack Overflow sticker on the side if you want to pay.
Name
for
your
it.
Price, sir.
Ooh, the Glitch sticker.
So we should also talk about when we hired Nick Larson, he built one in the office.
What? That's illegal and
taking
awesome.
Taking that home was not fun.
We made him move to New York because we weren't doing remote yet. And so he moved to New York and his apartment wasn't big enough to contain one of these rockets. So he brought it into the office to paint it.
Just so your mind is picturing this, because the office here is at the top of a skyscraper in downtown Manhattan. And you were bringing a container for explosives.
No,
into
it's
the building.
Even better, Anil. We were back at 55.
Oh,
right,
good. Yeah,
right
sure.
Below,
I work there right now.
The counterterrorism homeland security floor.
Sure,
we're right next to them.
Nice.
That's where we brought the
and
rockets.
And they're like, bring your explosives here.
Yeah.
In this container.
Nick, how did you get it out?
Oh, that was quite the experience. First, I brought it downstairs, and the person in the lobby was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you can't take
I'm
that
taking
out
a rocket.
That's like way above his pay grade, though. Like, somebody walks down with a rocket, he's
like,
just got
to go.
All right, just
go
keep
ahead.
Going.
Go
have
ahead.
You tried to fly through a U.S. airport since this all occurred? Because
So wait, let him finish the story.
All right, you get downstairs, you got a rocket, go.
This is like midnight.
But why wouldn't it be? Sure.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go back upstairs and it comes in like a big long box, of course, right? But the problem is you put these fins on it and the fins don't fit in the box. So we cut the box and we built another box around
Are there any wires hanging out while you're doing this? Is it
No
wires. Is there a clock counting down on the side
of
the box?
Middle of the night with your explosives like hanging out the side of the box with the wires. And of course, midnight is like the new noon, right? Like that's the time to do this. And they're looking at you and you're like, what? And then they let you out. That's how it happens.
And then where did you go? Did you get a car? Did you take it on the subway?
So I come back downstairs with a box. And now the guy goes, oh, man, you can't just walk out of this building with something from your business. Like somebody's going to have to sign for that. So we go back upstairs again. And I got Jared Dixon to sign his name on a piece of paper. And we took one of the old Stack Overflow stickers and like literally slapped it on the top.
Ooh, it's the letterhead. To be clear, you just got some other random person in the office, a developer, to sign off on you taking this box.
Right. Any other person that puts their name on this means it's okay to take these explosives out.
I'm just imagining this cardboard missile-shaped box
with
four like red fins sticking out. And you're like, what is your problem, dude? I gotta go.
Had you thought about just draping a bed sheet over it, maybe? Just be like, what? There's a rocket under here, but you can't see it, so it's okay.
It's top secret.
Yeah.
I was very nervous about taking the train home, though, so I did call
Kim. Oh, you totally have.
You were headed to mass transit with your explosives?
Oh, my God.
There was no explosives in it. It was just the rocket.
A container for explosives.
Just a rocket.
No, I mean, I want to be clear. A rocket, you know, a motor, is a container for explosives. That's what it is. It points the explosives in a certain direction.
Negative.
No?
Flammables and explosives are two different things, and this is very important.
Oh, it's like the difference between motors and engines.
You rocketeer.
Right, yeah. I just revealed myself as a rocketeer.
Wait, let's hear the distinction.
Sorry. Roll it back. I'm going to shut up this time.
Yeah, when I was saying that they cost us a few million dollars after 9/11, it's because they tried to classify all of this stuff as explosives when it's not.
Okay, all right.
Very important for you to be on record that these are definitively not explosives.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be licensed to buy explosives.
Right. So your box of definitely not explosives, you're taking, which they're not in there right now. It's just a container for the future presence of definitely not explosives. And you've taken it to the train. Why wouldn't you do that? Makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, it was just a long night already, and I was kind of frustrated at the whole thing, so didn't want to really, you know, push any buttons anymore.
That's amazing. I love this story. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I think you should launch 100,000 rockets.
I've tried.
Yes.
Give me time. All right, so before we move on to non-data team specific things, we have a new data team blog post live today, yesterday, super recently.
It's fresh when you hear this.
Dave, tell us what you learned.
Yes, this was inspired by a survey question that asked, when during the day do you start working? And I started thinking that we can find out what time of day people use different programming languages based on when they visit Stack Overflow. So who visits Stack Overflow from 9 to 5 and solves their programming problems that way, and who visits, say, in the late evening or really late at night? So I took a look at this, and the results are in the new blog post. And among the things I found was that there's a really clear difference. During the day from 9 to 5, it's all about Microsoft technologies. It's all C# and .NET and VBA and Excel. And during the evening, we see a very different set of technologies being used, and it's led by C and the Go programming language and JavaScript frameworks like Firebase and especially Haskell. 50% of Haskell's traffic is from 9 to 5, and the other 50% is from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. the next morning.
Unlike other technologies where like 90% would be from 9 to 5 or something.
Oh, okay. So this is Haskell after dark.
Yes.
Haskell after dark.
After dark, which is consistent, if I recall correctly, with your findings about weekends, right?
Julia's findings.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an analysis that I did. And it's similarly like Haskell's used a lot on the weekends.
Wow.
I got to say, one of my favorite things about this post that you just wrote, Dave, is actually just one of the first plots where you can just see everyone taking lunch.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I just love, like, to me, this shows like just how powerful it is, the data that we have. And like you take what so many developers are doing and you aggregate this data and you can see like, oh, we understand like who developers are, how they work. And like the fact that you can see like, oh, look, here's everyone taking lunch. It just delights me that we can see that in this plot here.
It's very human, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. And what delights me, if we could just present it without content, is just say of all the nations in the world that you can observe, who takes the longest lunches?
Ooh, French.
It is Paris.
Nailed it.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
I have not even read the blog post. I just have been to France.
To the surprise of no one.
Yes, it drops 50% from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yes.
50%?
Yep.
Croque Monsieur.
It's one of the biggest dips of any city.
Do we see siesta anywhere?
You know, I didn't check Spain. I don't know. I should take a look.
I have a related question, which is, can you tell folks that change languages after hours where they're like, you know, during the day, I'm Go, but at night, I'm Batman.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's...
Just force of habit.
That is exactly the follow-up blog post I'm planning.
Oh, yeah.
People
see?
That actually do use two different languages.
This is like the post-credit scene where I tease the next movie.
Yeah, if this CEO gig doesn't work out for you, you could be like our blog editor.
A blognosticator?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I don't mind if I do.
Do you know anything about blogs, Anil? Could you?
I invented not. I've read Joel's.
It is worth noting. So we mentioned these two posts. I'm sure there'll be links in the show notes. But actually, one of the things we love to do is just kind of put out in public the interesting things we find. So there are a lot of blog posts from Dave and Julia.
Yep. They're incredible.
That was a really awesome gift that we posted on Twitter, right?
High quality gift.
Oh yeah.
I like gifts. Really cool.
We'll embed that. Yeah, it shows the shift over the hours.
When gifts are content, it makes me happy.
It was my own GG Animate package. Yeah.
Yes, plug it.
That's so Dave and Julia's other role, our evangelists.
That's a great package.
Open source on GitHub. So that was one thing we looked at. We were able to really set up this spectrum. Anil, you mentioned Go, but Go was one of the evening technologies.
It's still a late night. It's still I'm teaching myself Go at night kind of thing.
Google after dark.
Yeah.
What really surprised me was Android was shifted towards the night. And we've seen that in a lot of cases, even in the US and such, that people working on Android in their free time. I didn't have as much of an interpretation of that.
This isn't something I would have guessed before I came to work here, that mobile technologies are things that people work on weekends and in evenings. Like, these are side projects. These are things that developers are working on their personal project. I would not have guessed that before I came to work here, but it comes up again and again. We're like, oh yeah, there you go.
Are there technologies people use like after dark because they're ashamed of them? Can you tell that?
Go and chill.
Yeah.
Visual source safe.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I don't want people to see me.
Well, we have had a theory sort of around like trendy technologies like sort of get rich quickie technologies, like mobile kind of goes there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like,
things go in fashion. Yeah, there's definitely fashion separate.
And so, maybe you're working at a bank. That's how you pay the bills, you know, C# SQL Server and your own little side thing. Like, it's probably going to be something trendy. And, you know, maybe you're dreaming of the big app hit.
Mm-hmm. Or you're learning, right? I think there's a lot of that sort of, I mean, all of us who've been working coders, you have to like, well, this is the thing I have to do. We're supposed to ship this. But for my own projects, I wanted to learn that framework. I want to learn those tools or something like that.
Yeah.
So, Anil, now I'm wondering, when during the day do people use Glitch?
That's a really good question. We're still early on, so we haven't done a ton of extensive analytics. We definitely see a little bit of the reverse. We see a spike at lunch, right? Because it's a great exploratory learning place. So we see people that want to team up. And we still are seeing a fall off on weekends. And we were talking about this on the team internally. We're saying, like, we'll know we're sort of clicking really well when we start to see a little bit of that pick up on weekends and evenings where people are like, this is where I'm taking my project that I really want to work on my own time. But that idea of like live coding together, I think a lot of us have pair programmed like during work for something that's structured. But being able to do that is like a fun way to collaborate with somebody. I love that idea of that something that people do in the evening, you know, the same way you watch a movie with somebody or something.
I actually, Anil, I've done that on Glitch.
Yay! So exciting.
I did a tracery bot. Tracery is like a JavaScript natural language library. Mm-hmm. And I used it on Glitch to make like a little tracery bot.
Oh, that's so cool. I have to check that out. I didn't catch that. I think NLP is one of those things where, you know, we're Node only, just so we can build better tools around the language. And NLP is one of those areas where I think Node is still a little weaker than some other platforms might be.
There are a few packages.
But it's starting to get better. And so I think that's definitely one of those areas we want to play with. But I love that. We see this every once in a while. People sometimes like, you know, I wanted to have this, I don't know, Amazon Alexa bot or something, and I just go and build it. And then they're able to get it up and running real quickly. And I think that's just such a satisfying thing. And also for me, whenever I'm trying to learn some new API or something, just being able to, you know, get it working, hack on it. That's where all the, I think the joy is, like the evening hacking kind of thing.
Does Glitch support Firebase?
Yeah. There's actually pretty much everything that you would imagine people would want to build on top of Node. People have gotten connected into it. So like there's a lot of different connectors into it, but I think it's still early enough on too, where we're figuring out what to add in and what's, I think we've sort of drifted away from like coding is something we do for fun a lot of times, or to be expressive, or because it's a creative expression or outlet. And that's something that all the stuff you pointed out about like when people code and what languages to use, I think it goes to exactly that, which is like what are the times you express yourself.
Also the pain, right? Like when you're trying to do your new thing, whatever, right, at 9 at night, you don't want to be like, oh, and now I have to set up a VM.
Well, yeah, I've definitely
now
been
I
that.
Have to deploy this to blah.
Yeah, and it's like by the time I got my dev environment running, I'm like, okay, time for bed. That's it. Like that was like, you know, oh, great. I'm all set to do something cool and I'm finished.
Julie, you still didn't tell us what the bot was.
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, it's a Jane Austen bot.
Ooh.
So yeah. So it's based on this generative grammar library. And so it takes like characters from Jane Austen and then little bits of dialogue from Jane Austen and actions from Jane Austen. And it like mixes them up and puts them all together and makes all these combinations. And so it's like a Jane Austen mashup bot.
And so after having used it, would you recommend Glitch or are you going back to Instacart?
1 minute tech review for Glitch, 2 thumbs up. It was great.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And while we don't have time to discuss the article in depth, I would encourage all of our listeners to go check out Julia's blog, juliasilge.com. And she's got a recent post that is awesome related to our topic, which is gender roles with text mining and engrams that breaks out sort of Jane Austen language and other authors. And it is super, super interesting and
Ooh.
Awesome. Prominently like featured on Hacker News today.
Oh, it got flagged. It's not on there.
I saw that. So
welcome to Hacker News.
She was like number 3, and then it was gone. And I'm like, what? Why would it get flagged?
The Instacart of Hacker News.
What would it be flagged? Because their flags
don't
have categories.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do.
My suspicion, sir.
Developers have always felt this way about Jane Austen, or those developers have anyway.
Like, we're more of a Bronte crowd.
With that, do we have any news this afternoon?
We do. Facebook announced a new way to combat the spread of, quote, fake news. Last week, the social network added a temporary box at the top of users' news feeds to provide tips on how to spot fake news.
Wait, I'm sorry. Was that the story?
The news is that there's a box telling you how to spot fake news.
It's the news on the news.
Fake news. What
the
if
news
the fake
news,
news is fake?
That it is fake.
That is a real appeal.
It comes from my father-in-law. I mean, it's pretty obvious to detect. I don't know why we would need...
Wait. Facebook is, what, $100 billion company? What is...
At least. $100 billion per day.
So Facebook announced that they're serious about stopping the spread of fake news, and so they added a box in the app temporarily to tell people to be careful of fake news.
Watch out!
How many engineers did it take? Where did they find them all?
Good news, we have a button.
Wait, can we see what it says? What does it say?
This
what
reminds
would it say?
Me of Google's bit where they're like, we're working with these fact-checking organizations, but we're not automating it or paying them.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you're putting that much effort in.
I can't.
Boy, am I tired.
Yeah.
I've been working this real hard.
This is like when Twitter was like, we are so serious about abuse that in both bathrooms at our headquarters, we put a note saying, try to stop abuse. Like,
yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
And we're replacing the egg.
We will let you block... Like, set up your own blocks for offensive text. We won't do anything about that.
Right. Let me read you. So this is actually helpful. So they're trying to help you make sure you're not taken in by this fake news. They have the resources. They have the researchers to help figure out the special things you could do to determine if this is real or fake news. Here are the headlines. I'm just going to read them.
Uh-oh.
Be skeptical of headlines, particularly those with exclamation points.
Mm-hmm. Valid.
Look for phony URLs.
That's a good rule.
Funny URLs.
Watch
That's
for unusual
one.
Formatting. Consider the photos. Inspect one. The dates. Check the evidence. Look at other reports. Be sure the story is not a joke. And number 10, which seems to be grammatically inconsistent with the rest, some stories are intentionally false. It's not really the same part of speech.
No, that's
it. This literally says, look at it and see if it's fake news.
Right,
like, it is no more.
Yeah.
Tips for spotting fake news. Step 1, check if it's fake news.
Right, yeah. Step 2, question mark.
If we apply these tips to this headline, which is like Facebook cares so much about fake news that I feel like applying their own unhelpful methods, I can conclude they don't give a poop about fake news.
They have done other things, right? There was something else where it actually shows up like under the article if it's been flagged enough or something.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if everybody's flagged them and like, this is a bunch of lies, why are you still showing it? Don't do that.
They don't want to be censored.
Well,
some people want to read lies.
Speaking of fake news, that's the name of our new podcast game.
What a coincidence.
We'll have 3 rounds of 3 headlines each. You have to spot which one is the fake news headline that our producers made up.
I buzz in now. That one we just heard, the Facebook one, is probably fake. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it's no way.
It is not.
Are you going to enunciate the exclamation points at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we examine the photos?
I need to inspect the URL, make sure it's accurate.
What would you that even You inspect the URL.
Well, it's also, you know, you get like international characters in the domain and you're like, I don't know. It looks right to me.
www.newyucktimes.com.
It says it's the Washington Post, but the URL is basically genuinely not Putin, I promise.com. Right?
.biz.
You get a little
So it'll be three rounds, three headlines each. You have to figure out of the three, which one is the fake.
That's nine headlines total.
Yes.
I did that in
and
my
three
head.
Three of them are fake.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm joining the data team.
This is small data.
You know what?
Yes.
So much of what we do is counting.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We're I don't mean really to brag, but if it's under 10, I got it.
You are you off to a great start.
Thank you.
I'm on the. I can count pretty high.
Teeny data
there's
team.
There's a take off your shoes optimization I want to share with you.
Okay. Are you
guys ready? Kind of party, Jay.
Okay, round one. First headline. Trial begins for man accused of killing FSU mascot with sword over gumbo seasoning. From the News Herald.
Can we just respond immediately? Because that's the truest truth I've ever heard.
All right.
It's Florida.
I need to know which state. Yeah, yeah.
Second one. American Psychiatric Association updates manual of mental disorders to include millennial ennui. Salt Lake Tribune.
The nice thing about me is I don't have to hear all the headlines to decide that they're all true. I'm a Facebook
Third
user.
Third headline, namaste. Florida judge strips off the black robe, teaches yoga on courthouse lawn, AP.
Whoa.
Well, that one's
See,
real.
That's totally believable.
Yeah.
One's real. All right, data
gumbo
team.
Sword.
I'm going with the second one.
Yeah, data team, I'm going with the number two.
Two is fake.
I think we've got core.
I mean, I would
one.
Kill somebody over gumbo seasoning. So
heartbeat, even less
with a
I'm
sword.
I'm just gonna
with
walk away from you right now.
We've already killed the mascot. You don't want to let it go to waste. You know
right.
how hard those are to find.
Might as well eat the gumbo.
I'm gonna be contrarian and pick number one on the theory that the mascot is not a human in a furry costume, but in fact some animal was killed with a sword over some weird soup.
Mm. But we're saying that's real.
Are gumbos soups?
He's on a different team.
Gumbos are colloidal suspensions.
Oh, you're right. I have to pick the one that's fake.
Yeah.
This that's... game is super hard.
Oh, good. Jay's just joined us. There's nine headlines. Three of them are fake. We're identifying
I
which ones.
I only heard three.
They're only round one.
And round one,
three.
Three.
Okay, have we all picked the fake one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, data team is two. Anil?
I'm going to have to say two as well.
Jay?
Gotta say two.
David?
I said two. That was right. the first one I said, right. too.
Okay.
Sure, you invented it.
You are all correct.
Yeah.
Guys, wait, mascot gumbo.
I'm not
here
for the millennial bashing, honestly.
Can we take a moment to mourn whatever kind of animal was executed with a sword?
It was probably.
What's the mascot? Gator.
Gator.
It's got to be. I mean, gumbo, sword. I'm thinking gator.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened? All
right. Default. Round two.
Next round.
First headline. Scientists find that the scent of blood can serve as an aphrodisiac. NPR Science Desk.
Gross, probably true.
I believe that one.
Two. Yeah. Man gets shock of his life when he buys two toy poodles for $150, only to be told by the vet that they are giant rodents pumped up with steroids to look like dogs.
Stupid, also probably
true.
It's so dumb.
Number three. Dead body found in cemetery. News and Courier.
Man, there's so much bait.
Yeah, I don't
know. Wait, what was the third one?
Dead body found in cemetery.
See, that is real.
What's the first one?
Scientists find that the scent of blood can serve as an aphrodisiac.
Oh, the aphrodisiac. Oh, jeez.
That's a very
aphrodisiac.
It's a little goth. I like it.
Is it two again? Are we getting duped? Is this like when all the answers are C on the exam?
Well, no, but two is so stupid and the truth is dumb.
Yeah, but... body found in cemetery.
Yeah, that's a tough one to fight.
That's pretty dumb.
But it's a trick, right? It's a trick. We're supposed to overthink it.
I'm going with aphrodisiac, number one.
Me too. I'm hopeful that blood is not sexy to most people.
No, I think it's just it's so goth, like you can't say it's false.
I would say that one's false because scientifically, scientists still haven't discovered an actual aphrodisiac. Like, there's no chemical basis.
The data's in.
So that was pheromones.
I don't know.
Pheromones.
Well, pheromones, there are no known human pheromones. I'm not sure. Aphrodisiac is a word.
Have they checked the blood yet?
Yeah, I don't know. This is...
You guys are taking this game too seriously.
It's going to an ugly place.
All right, well, I'm taking the poodles.
I'm going to go dead body. I'm going to go dead body because I think it's a trick. There's a reason it seems so obviously true. And whenever things seem true and accurate, that means they're lies. I learned that on Facebook.
I'm going with Anil on this.
You mean whenever they seem fair and balanced,
right? There's
not enough
specificity about it like the other ones have.
Insufficient data.
The data team is like
data
perfectly
team is not.
Fractured.
Yes, schism in the data
team.
See,
this is, we can't do it, that I was talking about.
I have sown discord.
I'll go, this is a lot of pressure.
I think whether it's an actual headline, I do not believe the bad aphrodisiac thing.
See, that's not the game.
Like garbage science.
That's not the game, Dave.
Dave, I think you're saying, well, actually, a third time. We got you. Julia's the president of the Senate.
Yeah.
You're not that kind of doctor.
I'm going to say the fake news is the finding a body in the cemetery.
And I'll go body in cemetery because at least I'll be in good company. That will break the data team tie.
I'm sticking with the poodles.
Yeah, the body was found above ground. It's going to be the blood sexy offering.
Okay. We only get one vote.
Well, no, the data team, we fit plurality.
There's been a schism.
So the data team is voting three. You all can have your pity points or whatever.
Okay. Whoa.
If you happen to be
whatever. We're going to say who's wrong in a minute.
Opinion.
Yikes.
Go. Okay. That's the answer.
The fake headline is, scientists find that scent of blood can serve as an aphrodisiac.
Wow. Let the record reflect, I have gotten two rounds not wrong for the first time in any game we've ever played on this podcast.
Congratulations. I'm glad Joel's not here to see it.
All right, round three.
I'm going to write him a poem about it. He's going to be so proud of me.
Don't worry,
headline
he'll listen to the podcast.
Number one,
listen.
Vaping congressman accused of using campaign funds on $1,300 worth of Steam games. Zam Gamer.
Vaping congressman.
I saw that.
Vaping.
What is that?
Do young people know what Steam games are? Because I don't. What's a Steam game?
Steam
game.
It's a game on Steam.
It's a.
So the vaping made it seem like the Steam was related to the vaping.
The vaping game was some creepy thing that kids did with the vape thingers.
He's blowing smoke rings. That's the Steam game.
Yeah, exactly. It's the video game.
Headline number two. Florida man throws an alligator into a Wendy's drive-thru window.
Automatically true. Florida man.
Always true.
Automatically true. There's literally nothing you can say.
Anything that has to do with Florida, you have to
After Florida man, it's actually it's always true. They should put that on the Facebook thing.
Did I mention I moved to Florida? Unusually well-behaved citizenry acts as usual.
Yeah, exactly.
Number three. President considers executive order limiting number of electric cars sold in California. AP.
Sounds good.
I mean, he would do anything.
That sounds.
I'm going with the alligator.
Nah, alligator's true.
What would Joel say?
True.
Are you kidding?
Okay, that's
nah. It's got to be three. I feel like I've seen Vaping Man headline. Alligator definitely happened.
What does the vaping have to do with? Okay,
he's a vapor.
Yeah.
A vapeteer.
A vapeteer.
Yeah.
It's a signal. Read it as like. Jerk legislator
spent
$13,000.
Vape is a signifier. And I feel bad in the same way that I don't like the anti-millennial headlines. My impression is most vapors are people trying to quit smoking.
Vapeteers, right? You mean?
Vapors.
There's definitely some of that.
I just see them as procrastinators.
Nice. That's very empathetic. Do people just start vaping? They're like, I had
maybe
no
kids.
Other.
Young people vape.
The youth vape?
Yeah, the youth.
Okay. The youth.
That's kids with their skateboards and their vapes.
I smoked for 17 years.
Okay.
Nicorecum.
Oh, yikes. All right.
The only thing for vaping is I'm fine, don't care, except if it's like, oh, it's okay to do indoors now. It's like, no. No.
Okay.
Still go outside.
It doesn't have smoke output, really, right, though?
It still smells.
Yeah,
it outputs steam games.
Also, we're getting a little distracted. A little distracted from the game here.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We're just taking moral judgments.
Data team, assemble.
I'm with Kevin.
That was three.
Okay.
Three? I'm thinking three.
What was three again?
President considers executive order limiting number of electric cars.
Oh, I can't think about that one, so I'm just going to go with anything else. And I'm going to say vape dude's true, three I'm not thinking about, so two must be fake. What was two? Two's Gators.
Florida man.
Whoa, see? It was a trick. It was a twist. You think Florida man does everything, but this Florida
man. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying Florida man is the kind of thing that you make up if you're trying to make up a fake.
Yeah, Florida man bites dog, not true. Mm-hmm. Fake
I'm
going to
say three.
All right.
Three is fake.
Okay. Well, three. President considers executive order is fake. Fake.
Who won?
California. Knows how to party. Wow.
And we're telling.
We're counting up the votes.
Data team, we need
big
you
data.
Right.
The late precincts are reporting.
I'm sorry, just before we announce the winners, I think we skipped over the part with like how many Clorox wands. So the winner gets something really good, right?
No.
Clorox toilet wands, because they're on sale on Amazon. Okay, dead last.
What? It's me? Am I dead last? Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to win. Winning is for losers.
Yeah.
Second, we have David and the data team.
Woo!
Came in number two.
Great. That's
and
a good
that
band name.
That Jay is number one.
Oh my God, I'm dropping
He's
this
so
name
excited
for so
right
long.
Now. So
oh
excited.
My God, that's pathetic.
Wow.
Wow.
Disembodied voice of Joel is kind of negging you there. That's a shame.
Yep.
David and the data team, though, they're playing on Friday. I'm pretty excited.
But to be clear there, I was the Dave.
Yeah.
Not the Dave on the data.
We know it wasn't
team.
Dr. Dave and Dave.
It could have been Dave and Dave in the data team.
We know it would have been
not Dr. Dave.
It would have been Dr.
D-Rex.
Dave and Dr. Dave and the data team. David.
All right. Well, I think that may take us through the entire agenda. That only took us 17 hours.
We move at internet speed.
Is that the counting the 3 hours it took us to get started?
I think we're going to count that as a rounding error.
It's 17's hour.
Yeah, you have, I think, now gone and enjoyed another hour of your life listening to Stack Overflow podcast number 106. It was, as we mentioned, recorded Thursday, April 20th, 2017 at Stack Overflow headquarters in New York City. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell a friend. Spread the word. We need more subscribers. It's the most important thing we can do as a business. It's a core metric. Podcast listeners. That's it. That's really, I say this as somebody who cares deeply about this company. Please listen to the podcast. That's the most important thing. This podcast has been brought to you by Glitch, as I mentioned earlier, and of course by these horrible purple unicorn drinks that we've been enjoying the whole time. Our audio engineer is Carlos Hernandez. Audio editor is David Greenlee. Technology concierge is Michael Rosa. News editor, Ilana Itzhaki. Producer is Jess Pardue. And executive producer is Caitlin Pike. And for our guests, Dr. Julia Silge, Dr. Dave Robinson, Kevin Montrose, Jason Punyon, Nick Larson. And as always, Jay Hanlon, David Fullerton, Ilana again, and me, Anil Dash. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Anil.
Why didn't you create a glitch for Excel so that people
can...
I don't mean to brag, but we have our best coders working on CSV support right now.
Like, don't joke
so
about...
That's not a joke.
Okay. I'm like, are you serious?
Literally, the day I joined Fog Creek, I was like, you know what we really need? It wasn't even called Glitch yet, but I was like, you really need a CSV support. So it's actually... coming. I was a special case.
I don't think I've ever seen Julia angry before, and I love that it was like there are
She's
things that, are, that you just never
are,
you never joke about them, and CSV
format,
is one of them.
There are file formats that you don't look askance at, period, and one of them is CSV. But also, like, without CSV and FTP, the world would fall apart.
Yeah, every financial transaction that has ever been done is in a CSV on an FTP site.
Right, but this is a statement of truth, not ideals, though.
See, Kevin wrote his own JSON serializer, yeah. So that's why he likes it.
Two things people routinely screw up in JSON. Those are just two escape characters that work in JSON, don't in JavaScript, or like vice versa.
And off by one errors.
And dates.
Well, yeah. Dates just aren't.
Dates always work. Dates are like time zones. They're so easy.
Dates and CSVs are also not
time zones. It's just an offset.
What are your thoughts on ISO 8601?
Guys, I have the longest rant about that standard.
It is a 47,000-minute tech rant.
Yeah.
It's podcast tin. Look, if you want gold material, you get Joel. If you want tin...
That was gold! Radio gold!
Oh, I can't believe... You know, it feels like he's right here with us.